Mazzara and Parra project to Amiwara. Herrera, Cabrera, don't let the Bay Lip scare ya. Machado or Bono or Nolan Garantano.
We'll teach you how to win Rondo. Start, sit, and drop, and all you need to know. Alazric Porcello. Now let's get on with the show.
Wednesday morning, July 6th. Welcome to the show. This is Fantasy Baseball Today. We want your questions, your emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com, and we will be reading some of them today about Taijuan Walker, about Trey Turner, about Brock Holt, some other guys you might be interested in, Michael Franco. I'm Adam Azer. I got Scott White now. Melk, you're here. Would you guys like to start out with a pretty easy trivia question?
It's my favorite kind, yes.
Yeah. Let's get it going a little bit. Get your confidence up. All right. Here you go. Easy question. Which hitter has scored the most fantasy points this season? Overall hitter, most fantasy points.
David Ortiz?
No.
Jose Altuve.
I thought you'd say Jose Altuve. And then I would laugh at you and say, no, you're wrong.
Incorrect, sir.
I have a feeling.
Josh Donaldson.
Yeah, I have a feeling it was Jose Altuve, but it is now Josh Donaldson, who is leading the league in runs scored with 77, ridiculous pace. He is now 3.5 points ahead of Jose Altuve. Altuve is still the number one hitter in Roto with Donaldson number two. But my goodness, guys, what Josh Donaldson is doing right now is completely unfair, and his walk-to-strikeout ratio is ridiculous as well. Would you care to comment on the number one hitter in points leagues?
I think this surge started like right after I dropped him behind Nolan Arenado in my third base rankings, so oops.
Motivation.
Yeah, he should win an MVP or something.
Yeah, well, he's, I guess, backing up his performance from last year. I don't know if there's much more to say about it. But there you go. Josh Donaldson, number one in points, number two in Roto. How are you guys doing today? Long weekend, haven't spoken to you since Friday, and then, you know, Monday, the recorded show. What's going on, fellas?
Okay, yeah. I was going to say, I thought we did talk Monday. Wink, wink. Yeah, pretty good. It's good.
Yeah, okay. Looking forward to some Taijuan Walker talk.
Did you see my tweet yesterday?
I did. Well, that's, you know, that primed the pump.
Did you see my tweet because it showed up in the while you were away section?
Of course.
Yeah, you're all over my... Chris Towers is...
Chris Towers totally dominates my while you're away section.
Yeah, he's all over it.
He also dominates my while I'm present section, for what it's worth.
He's an active tweeter, no doubt. Yes, we'll get to Taijuan Walker in a moment. I was going to bring this up yesterday, and I didn't. So I'll bring it up today. A little bit random here. He hasn't done anything special lately. I think he stole a base yesterday. But Ian Desmond. Is Ian Desmond... As we're just kind of, we're at the halfway point, basically. Guys have played right around 80 games in a lot of cases. Ian Desmond is on pace for his best season. He's batting .319, I believe. He's still striking out a lot. He's got a better walk to strikeout ratio, but it's not that much better. Why is Ian Desmond hitting around .320? And do you think there's a big second half slump coming for a guy who's batting like in the .230s the last couple of years?
Well, I mean, he has a .392 BABIP, which, I mean, I don't care who you are, that's unsustainable. I don't think he's going to regress to being a .230 hitter because, you know, we saw him have some pretty high batting averages with the Nationals, .292 one year, .280 the next, with BABIP around .330, .335, which is, you know, still higher than average, but believable. I think that's kind of the player he settles into in the second half, which would still make him, I think I have him sixth in my shortstop rankings. And, you know, that's legitimately what I value him as, since he's also outfield eligible, and that may actually be the thinner position this year. He comes in like between 20 and 25 there. So I'm pretty comfortable with him. At that point, I can't imagine moving him beyond that, and I can't imagine him sustaining a plus .300 batting average for much longer.
Yeah, no, that all sounds about right to me, and I would have figured we did start to see the batting average plunge at one point, but then he's just revived it. So, yeah, I think he could have a much less productive second half.
Okay, well, Ian Desmond, yeah, he batted .233 last year, Desmond, but .255 the year before, .280, .292 the previous seasons. And 15 steals, 15 homers so far. He was usually 20-20, you know, not 30-30, but
right
here for him. Okay, let's get to the big news. Today we're going to talk about CJ Krohn, Addison Russell, Troy Tulowitzki, Taijuan Walker, Carlos Rodon, Dallas Keuchel, David Price, many, many more. But first, Wade Davis is on the DL with a strained forearm. Kelvin Herrera, must add, right?
Oh, I think so.
It's too late, I'm sure.
Probably, yes.
I wouldn't say that. I mean, the closer activity has been surprisingly non-existent across all leagues. Non-existent is an overstatement, but it's been surprising how much these closers we've hyped have kept their ownership percentage like in that 60% range, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to look up Kelvin Herrera's
31%.
Now. 31.
Okay, well, that's they must add. I mean, I did look to add him in deeper leagues, and he wasn't available there. I think he could be added in just about any format, but, you know, to be fair, like Scott said, I mean, a lot of the pretty good closers that, you know, we've been hyping as good and startable are available. There's some plenty out there among the save sources. And the only one that I've really pursued in the last few weeks among, you know, the newer ones is Sungwan Oh. Mm. Right. And I would actually rather have him than Herrera, but it's close.
Well, because, you know, there's a chance for some permanence there with Oh. And I'm not saying, I mean, the thing about Wade Davis, a forearm strain, that could be just, okay, he's completely better in 2 weeks, or, oh, look, now there's an elbow problem and we're not seeing him for 18 months. You know, it's such a wide range of possibilities with that injury as the starting point. I'm guessing it's going to be the former. You know, it's not like there were any struggles leading up to this that would lead you to believe something was wrong. And I'm sure part of it's them taking advantage of the All-Star break. So I'm expecting a quick turnaround here, and it end up being another Sean Kelly situation.
I think we need to start referring to Tommy John as the unspeakable surgery, because he said there could be elbow trouble and then we won't see him for 18 months.
It's kind of ominous, wasn't
it? It's too ominous to even use by name.
Yeah, no, that's true. By the way, have we seen for sure that it will be Herrera? I know that's the assumption, because he's been the eighth inning guy and he has the better numbers, but Joaquin Soria, I don't think, is completely off the hook.
I have not seen that for sure, no.
Yeah.
Not me neither.
Yeah. And Soria got picked up in several of leagues that I was in yesterday, but only after Herrera was picked up.
Yeah, and I would pursue Herrera, and I think that's what most people are doing.
Michael Brantley says he is 100% healthy. Hopefully we'll see him fairly soon. Jung-ho Gong is a person of interest in a sexual assault case. We don't know much more other than that. So, you know, we'll keep an eye on that. Brandon Moss on the DL with a sprained ankle. St. Louis called up Randall Grichuk. Al, what's your take on the situation now? Moss goes on the DL. Grichuk comes back up. Does this open up more at-bats for Matt Adams? What do you think about the Cardinals right now?
Yeah, I think it opens up more at-bats for Matt Adams, but I don't think it really improves his value that much. I think they've got a similar situation there. By adding Grichuk, they still have a first base outfield logjam, and Jerko's been playing some first base, so maybe just a very marginal uptick in value for Adams.
How about Grichuk himself? Did a little bit better in the minors after the demotion, and I was actually surprised he was still owned in the leagues I looked for him in. People hadn't dropped him in the deeper leagues, I guess. Grichuk
I have played 16 team leagues. So.
Yeah, and he was in the Roto League. He was owned in the Roto Leagues. He's 35% owned. Roto Leagues that I was in is what I meant to say. But still, I guess, widely available, Randall Grichuk at 35% owned. Anybody interested?
I'm really not.
Yeah, I mean, if the choice came down to him or any other Cardinal center field option, so Wong or Tommy Pham, then yeah, I would take Grichuk. But I imagine most mixed leagues have much more promising outfielders available than that.
You know, there's just a lot of things about Grichuk and his situation that really kind of put me off. And one is that he's become this year the type of hitter I feared he would be. And that last year may have been a fluke. And, you know, while I do agree with Scott that he's the superior option among the center fielders that the Cardinals have, the way that Matheny has, you know, used him this year, you know, kind of playing the hot hand, I just think it works against Grichuk.
Did you kind of feel like there was very little chance that both Piscotty and Grichuk were going to work out for fantasy owners? They were just, to me, they were just such mysteries, I guess, or such wild cards. And I didn't know which one I liked better. I didn't end up drafting either of them. And I don't know. Did you just kind of feel like it was going to be tough for both of them to be good this year?
I guess kind of. I mean, I don't know. If you're giving them a 50-50 chance of following up or not, I mean, technically speaking, they both could have, or they both could not have. Just so happened one did and one didn't. You know, it's I don't know that there's any more to read into it beyond that.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. Stupid thought, Adam. Mitch Moreland missed his third straight game with calf tightness, so Jurickson Profar has been benefiting, and meanwhile, Shin-Soo Chu left with lower back tightness. The All-Star break coming at a pretty good time for those guys. Well, I don't know. Chu might be back in. Moreland might be back in tonight, for all we know. But, yeah, they're injured. All-Star game rosters were announced. Ben Zobrist edged out Daniel Murphy by 88 votes at second base. That is crazy close.
Wow.
And I really...
One person could have made up that difference.
If he voted 89 times, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm sure some people do.
Yeah, probably. I really didn't look at the rosters yet, so I don't really have any takeaways. I'm not sure if you guys do. I know it's pretty dumb. And if you're a Cubs fan, you've got a great chance to go to the World Series. Don't just vote for all the Cubs. This game matters. You want the best players in there. Addison Russell shouldn't be starting at shortstop.
But that's maybe two. Maybe Dexter Fowler in the outfield is kind of a stretch, though not as much as, I mean, Russell doesn't deserve to be an All-Star. Fowler, okay, take him or leave him. I know I would rather have Gregory Polanco on that roster or Starling Marte, who's one of the final vote people.
Right.
And probably a couple other. I was, you know, one of the things that surprised me that I haven't seen talked about a lot was Adam Duvall over Jay Bruce. Not that I feel like either is this slam dunk all star, but it's a lot of love for Duvall.
That is. Yep. I didn't even realize he made the team.
Yeah, I think that was. I understand why he made it. I just don't agree with it. And I mean, this is why, you know, and I think I bring this up every single year that I don't like. Is how much emphasis is placed on the current year's first half.
Oh,
but
we can argue about this again, huh?
But I don't even think that's relevant in this situation. Duvall didn't have as good of a first half as some of the outfielders who missed.
Well, if it wasn't for that first half, he wouldn't be in the discussion at all.
Well, of course not. But that's what it is. It's this year's All-Star game.
Yeah.
Well, I feel bad for the guys who have a great second half.
Well,
I mean, the biggest snub was clearly Kinsler, right?
Well, he's the guy team. I would vote for in the final five.
Yeah.
I was going to say, let's vote for the final five. So the final five in the American League, look, they're good candidates. Kinsler, Longoria, Pedroia, Saunders, and Springer. Kinsler, Longoria, Pedroia, Saunders, and Springer. I will be voting for Ian Kinsler. How about you guys?
Also Kinsler. It's a shame that both he and Springer can't make it. Although, you know, Springer could as an injury replacement.
Yeah. That's a thing I tried to. I feel like I always overlook it when the All-Star rosters come out, and I'm like, how could this guy not be on? How could that guy not be on? And it's like, you know, a quarter of these players are going to bow out, and there's a good chance they'll be able to add all these snubs and then some by the time the game actually comes. So, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I agree.
It'll be fine.
And in the NL, your five are Brandon Belt, Ryan Braun, no way am I voting for him, we know that. Jake Lamb, Starling Marte, and Trevor Story. Belt, Braun, Lamb, Marte, Story. Al, who would you vote for?
I will vote for Ryan Braun.
No, you won't.
Sure, I will.
Why?
Me too.
He's had a better career?
Yeah.
Come on.
He's had a better year.
He's having a great year, yeah. But, I think at the very least, that should be a tiebreaker.
He doesn't even play. He sits every five games.
Jake Lamb doesn't?
Oh, Jake Lamb does. But Jake Lamb's been better than Ryan Braun.
Maybe relative to the position. I'm not so sure about that. But I mean, they're all players I would certainly want to see on the NL squad. But yeah, we'll give Braun the edge over the others because of what he's done over his career.
But it's...
Okay. That's not why I'm voting for him, just to put that out there.
I would vote for probably Marte. Maybe... Lamb or Marte? I'm not sure yet. Wow. But I won't vote for Braun. Never Braun. Okay. Let's talk about some homer happy hitters. CJ Krohn. Just to refresh your memory, in July last year, Krohn, I'll try to do some quick math. He had, let's see, like a 950-ish OPS with four home runs July last year. August, he had a pretty similar OPS in the 900s with four home runs. September, he only batted 242, but he had six home runs and drove in 20. So it was a nice three-month stretch there for Krohn. And right now, last 17 games, he's batting 385 with six home runs, 20 runs batted in, six doubles, and he's 35% owned. Who's excited about CJ Krohn?
Not that excited. Although, I mean, he's really dropped his strikeout rate a lot. So there's nothing he's doing right now that isn't sustainable. But I, yeah, it's just for first base, it's just not enough for me to get excited. It's enough for me to see if he's available in something deeper than a 12-team mixed league.
Okay. Yeah, I should probably get some comparisons up here. That's my bad. Let's go with who would you rather own, Mike Napoli or CJ Krohn?
I'll take Krohn.
I think it's going to depend on format. Napoli, I prefer for the power in Roto, but I think Krohn's a little better peripherally because he doesn't strike out much.
Would you rather have Adam Duvall or CJ Krohn? As crazy as that sounds, all-star Adam Duvall.
Yeah, no, I would still take Duvall.
I will too.
All right, last one. Yanhervis Solarte or Krohn?
Solarte.
Agreed.
Okay, we have an email about Solarte we'll get to in a moment. Addison Russell, 82% owned, 6 for 12 in his last three games with three ding-dongs. He is the number 19 shortstop in points leagues, number 20 in Roto. He has 11 home runs now. Are you more excited about Addison Russell than you were about CJ Krohn?
Do you feel good about saying ding-dongs?
I think it's better than saying just dongs like Heath and Chris do.
Okay. Well, I sensed some insecurity in your voice as you were saying it, so I just wanted to ask.
Yeah, how did you pick up on that? As I was about to say it, I was like, is this going to sound bad? And it's like, nah, whatever. It's home runs. They're ding-dongs. We know that.
They're ding-dongs. Yeah. Okay. You know, it's funny. I was just talking to Al about Addison Russell before we connected with you, Adam, and I was saying, hey, his overall numbers don't look so bad again. Not that they're great, but they're usable in leagues with middle infield spot. I would take him. I'm probably back to taking him over Jose Reyes, even though I just moved Reyes up to 15th in my shortstop rankings yesterday. Probably need to switch it up again. I still like what Addison Russell's doing in terms of walks. I think that's been under-mentioned. It's on like a 70-walk pace.
But like I said, he's only 19th in points and 20th in Roto.
Yeah. So
it's just not really registering because of the position depth this year.
Right.
Russell is 82% owned. If he's available in shallower leagues like he was in our podcast league last night, do you feel like you need to pick him up in case Russell goes on some type of second half tear? Do you still have that hope for him, guys?
I absolutely do. I think that's a move that needs to be made. And I'm not really more excited about Russell because of what he's doing. I guess maybe I'm less discouraged because he is improving, and I have reason to hold out hope. But okay. I think that this is what we could see from Russell all season long. It's just a player who takes a step forward and then a step back. But I think the breakout potential is there.
Like, I mean, because I'm trying to couch this for the shallow league guy, since that's what you brought up, Adam. In those leagues with the head-to-head lineup, only a second baseman, shortstop, no third and middle infielder. Like, the bottom guy on my roster and in a couple of those leagues is Aledmys Diaz. And I'm not dropping Diaz for Russell, you know? So it would be, I guess the answer would be no to that question.
Well, yeah, look, I think I picked him up last night and I dropped Mike Leake. So I wasn't dropping a shortstop. I was just dropping excess roster player to stash somebody who has potential.
If you have a team that's not as deep as Scott's.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, stupid Mike Leake.
That goes for my podcast league team. That's 5-8-1.
You know, Mike Leake, I was hopeful for Mike Leake last night. Just pitching is so bad. I can't deal with it anymore. Troy Tulowitzki, guys. Since coming off the DL, Tulo's batting .339 with 7 home runs in 15 games. Has anything changed in terms of your rankings with Troy Tulowitzki? What do you think?
Needs to. Needs
it,
to.
It does.
He's back.
He's back? You sure about that?
I'm as sure as I can be about a baseball player's future performance, yes.
And I'm not, but maybe he fooled me.
Fooled you!
Because I pretty much give it up on Tulowitzki. I do need to bring him up, but yeah, there's a long way to bring him up because I kind of left him for dead.
He's right. He's going to be right behind Desmond at 7th for me.
So you'd rather have Tulo than Aledmys Diaz or Trevor Story?
Or Jung Ho Gong, who I think is ahead of both, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm not quite there yet.
Giancarlo Stanton homered twice yesterday. Last time he had a nice game, he on June 28th, he went 3-for-5 with a home run, and then he went 3 for his next 24. Also, I don't think any of us are going to be correct in the contest we had, which started, what, 2 Fridays ago? We said who's going to score the most points before the All-Star break. I took Stanton, Al took Harper, Scott took Upton. I don't think any of us are going to be right about that one.
No.
Nope.
No.
Yeah, but the odds were stacked against us. But I don't know if there's much to say. Oh, you know what's interesting about Stanton? We can kind of compare last year to this year because he played in 74 games last year. He's played in 72 games this year. Walk to strikeout rate is pretty similar. I mean, people have been making a big deal of the strikeouts, but 35 walks, 102 Ks this year. 34 walks, 94 Ks last year in 2 more games. It's not a huge difference, but 9 more home runs last year, 40 more points in batting average. You know, anything
I'm
to say?
I'm really glad you brought those things up because that's exactly why I never really freaked out about Stan because even at his best, yes, he's going to strike out a lot, but he just goes on these unbelievable power binges and he could get right back to that level, you know, with a hot streak that's, you know, maybe 2 or 3 weeks.
Well, it's about
doing
to
math,
happen.
I think he could do that.
It can 2 more home runs over his next 3 games. I guarantee it. Now, let's read a series of relevant emails to help our fantasy owners. This is from Thomas. What am I supposed to do with Taijuan Walker? I'm so fed up with Taijuan Walker. I should have picked up Jared Eichhoff. Sad face.
Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't feel bad about holding on to Walker at the expense of losing Eichhoff. I mean, in a lot of ways, I think they're sort of similar, but I think Walker does have the greater upside, but they both could be, and Walker, of course, has been very vulnerable to the home run. Both could be very good control pitchers, and I think Walker probably will wind up being a little better for strikeouts than Eichhoff, and I think certainly better for wins.
Well, the good news is, I guess this is good news. If you're frustrated with Walker, then I think you can only take it as good news. Probably going to go on the DL. So
you
can put him in your DL spot, and then you can go pick up Eichhoff or whoever else strikes you on the waiver wire.
Well,
I agree with Al that Walker is the more talented pitcher and going to be better in the long run. And I think it's reasonable to assume this foot injury that he can't get over, it's bothered him for 3 weeks now, is impacting his performance.
Right.
Can't push off, the Mariners are saying. Can't push off with the back leg. That's a killer.
Yeah, that is a big deal. And what I had tweeted last night was I think I might be done with Taijuan Walker, not dropping him, but done having any faith in him. And that's really what it is. I mean, I put him in my lineup and I just don't know what to expect from Walker, but I gotta give him somewhat of a pass because of all the blisters. Didn't he have a blister?
I don't recall the blister, but the foot issue is enough.
Maybe it was McCullers that I'm confusing.
McCullers did have a blister.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Walker's had the foot injury, and again, he said he had no legs on under him yesterday. But go ahead.
Your tweet confused me because you said you're not going to drop him, but you've lost faith in him, and I equate those things. So your
I
faith,
thought that too.
So your faith in Walker is one that's strong enough that you would start him. Then
I would probably. I'm at the point where I would bench him. I started him in a 2-star week. Coming off one of his best starts of the season, you know, and I think that was reasonable.
But I think though, I mean, taking the foot injury aside, just assessing Walker at face value, I think we're kind of treating him more harshly than a lot of other pitchers because, I mean, you look at somebody like Carlos Rodon who also got roughed up yesterday. And his numbers, comparing them to Walker's, they're terrible. I mean, a lot of those pitchers, how many times have we talked about this? A lot of those pitchers in that, you know, beyond like the top 40, they're all rising and falling and driving us nuts. And yeah. Walker, his overall numbers amid that roller coaster ride, it's still better than a lot of them. You know?
Well, I mean, Rodon, it's time to start wondering if he's just a bust this year, putting that label on him. And he can't get righties out. But I wanted to lump the two guys together because it goes back to something I said last year a lot. And Chris Archer was a big exception to this rule last year. He had an amazing season with two pitches. And I just don't know if these guys have big enough arsenals. With Rodon, he throws three pitches, but two of them are fastballs. So he doesn't really change speeds that well. And with Walker, he throws an occasional changeup, and I'm not sure it's that good. So he's basically fastball curveball. And McCullers, I kind of feel like, is the same way, although I'm not 100% sure about that. I know Chris brought it up yesterday. But two-pitch pitchers? Pineda's another guy. He started throwing his changeup, which is an encouraging sign, but he had trouble getting by on fastball slider for most of the year because if one of those pitches was off, he was just terrible. And I think it's something that we really need to look at, and I think it's an issue with some of these younger pitchers.
Yeah, I've kind of poo-pooed it in the past because I could find exceptions to the rule, but maybe it is just a matter of time that these pitchers can get by with two good pitches for a certain amount of time, but it does seem to catch up with them. So I think it's a really good point.
It may have caught up with Archer, but he is throwing more changeups this year. I don't know if it's a good changeup.
Well, I think a couple things to point out here. I mean, a lot of these pitchers, they don't make the majors without three pitches. So it may just be that to simplify the pitcher-catcher exchange, to simplify the transition process, they just kind of drop a pitch for a while. And part of the reason I say that is look at how Michael Fulmer's rookie season unfolded. He came up and he was just throwing fastball slider and, you know, it was okay. But then as soon as he introduced that changeup, he took off and it's been arguably his best pitch since then. And it's like, why weren't you just throwing that all along?
Yeah. Right. And I remember watching a broadcast and the announcer was saying, whoever told him that he doesn't have a good changeup or that he shouldn't throw it, you know, I don't know what they were thinking. All right, Rodon is 74% owned, so people have already been dropping him. What do you guys think about Rodon? Worth stashing, or are you done with him?
I'm done with him. And actually, I started a new segment in my weekly pitcher column. I'm not sure I'm going to do it every week, but called the Drop Watch, and included him and Chris Tillman this week because I felt like those guys were a bad start away from being droppable.
Okay.
And I think even in the case of Tillman, who...
Yeah, was it a good start or a bad start?
I think it was a bad start. I mean, it was good results, but I didn't see what I wanted to see there.
Right, two strikeouts, I think it was, in seven innings.
Yeah.
Seven good innings from a just are we going to win this game perspective. But, lack of strikeouts is alarming.
Yeah, but he didn't give up a home run, right?
No, but a lot of fly balls, and not that I would expect that to change overnight, but that's just a combination that's not going to work for Tillman.
I can't really think of who I would drop Tillman for. That's kind of my issue.
Yeah.
The pitching argument is just framed so differently because the waiver wire is not as attractive. So when you're saying, yeah, these guys are droppable, maybe it's a hitter that you're dropping him for, like dropping Mike Leake for me last night. But there are two pitchers who are owned in almost 90% of leagues that I lumped with Chris Tillman as maybe over-owned. I think it's hard to argue against it. Gio Gonzalez and Jake Odorizzi. Are you guys done with them?
I am. I've actually been done with Gio for a while.
Yeah. Done is always relative. If he puts together four good starts in a row, suddenly I'm back on him. But I dropped him a while ago, and I never really was that excited about Odorizzi this season because, I mean, seven of his last 10 starts have been less than six innings. Even when he pitches well, it's not like he's not getting quality starts. He's not getting innings. That's a problem.
Yeah. Now, yeah, you're right. When I say done, it doesn't mean done forever, but it means you can drop these people right now and
right.
Try to win right now.
Sure.
Just what's the point of holding on?
In the case of, you know, what pitcher would you get for somebody like Chris Tillman? Well, he just might be the guy that I let go of to get the next two-star pitcher that I like.
Sure. Or Kelvin Herrera.
Or that.
Yeah. All right, here's another email. It's from Bob in Chicago. I'm going to be in Chicago, by the way, Thursday and Friday this week for Podcast Movement, a podcasting conference. Chris Towers is going to be hosting Fantasy Baseball Today. Booyah.
Cool.
Dave,
podcast. What is a podcast movement?
It's a conference about podcasting.
I was surprised
it exists.
Yeah.
I'm very interested.
Must not be much of a movement.
I think it's going to be pretty well attended. So, you know, some pretty impressive speakers that they have lined up.
Is that the kind of cause worth having a movement for?
Podcasting?
Yeah.
Well, as someone who's employed solely because of podcasting, yes, it is extremely important.
You're behind the movement.
Yes. So Bob asks, well, first he says, dear James, Dave, and Julio.
Broncos.
Yes.
I was actually thinking, who's Dave Franco? Because I was good with the other two.
Well, it's Dave Franco, and he's James Franco's brother.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, doesn't he normally go by David? Because, yeah, Dave sounded weird to me, too.
Oh, I don't know. Does he?
I think so.
Okay. It was a bit of a stretch, but the question is about Michael Franco. Michael Franco is at 4 home runs in his last 8 games. Is he finally starting to heat up, or is it time to sell Franco during this hot streak?
I wrote about this very topic yesterday, and I said sell. Because even though his home run and RBI paces now look good, he's still on pace for only 59 runs. And I just, for a guy who reaches base 30% of the time and nobody to drive him in that lineup, I don't see that improving. And I think the power pace can only, you know, since he's amid the hot streak now, the power pace can only slow from here. So I think this hot streak buys you one last chance to redeem value for him.
Okay,
because he hasn't been startable most of the season.
Now, how about a deeper league? Because I would sell him in a 12-team mixed league because third base is sufficiently deep that I can get by without Franco. But what about 15-16 team mixed league? Or,
well, obviously, if he's your best third baseman, I'm approaching it from the perspective that you probably found for third baseman you're relying on instead of Franco if you're still paying attention.
Well, the reason why I'm asking is because it sounds like the argument is that he's probably a peak value right now.
I think so. Yes.
Okay. All right. So, you know, if you could get more for him now than you expect to get from him in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Now we can do a little comparison Franco this year to last year. Because he's played in basically the same amount of games. He's played in 79 games this year, 80 games last year. And there are two differences. The batting average is 19 points lower, but he has 2 more home runs this year, 2 fewer RBIs, 2 fewer walks, 8 more strikeouts. It's really not that dissimilar, but 10 more doubles last year than he has this year. So that's the big difference I found. He's only hit 12 doubles in 79 games. Last year he hit 22 doubles in 80 games.
I noticed you didn't list runs here.
I didn't. Is that a big difference?
Well, that's all the difference I'm saying. Oh, I haven't actually looked at what I would be interested in knowing how many runs he had at this time.
Well, let's do it.
Through the same number of games last year as he does this year.
Scott White, with the power of the internet, I'm going to tell you. He had... Are you ready for this? You sitting down?
I'm sitting.
45 runs last year in 80 games. 31 runs in 79 games this year.
There you go. Yeah. I think between that and the doubles,
yeah,
that'll do it.
I just wonder, I mean, I think it's a really good point, one that I'm not really emphasizing enough in my evaluation of Franco, but I'm just looking at some of the other Phillies to see if he's being punished sort of disproportionately up to this point. And even if we can't expect him to produce like he would on, you know, a better offensive team.
Well, what other Phillies are worth? I mean, it's punished. Herrera. Punished is a relative, because most of the Phillies, they're basically cast-offs from other teams. They're not guys who played a lot previously, have much of a track record. Odubel Herrera is the only other Philly of mixed league value.
Yeah.
Maybe Joseph, if you factor in the catcher eligibility. And Herrera probably is scoring a decent number of runs just because he's like a 400 on base guy as opposed to 300.
Yeah, he's scored 48 runs. So obviously a very big differential there. But Yeah, I don't know. I suspect that Franco will be a better run producer going forward, but maybe not good enough for me to argue with you that you shouldn't sell him.
Okay. Let's read the rest of these guys, and then let's move through and get to David Price and get to Max Kepler, Byron Buxton, Masahiro Tanaka, some interesting players to talk about. Nathan wants to know, we talked about this yesterday, do you really think that Trey Turner will get time in the outfield as Danny Espinosa appears to be blocking him at shortstop? Is Trey Turner worth stashing?
I think Turner's worth stashing, and I think he's actually more likely to get playing time at shortstop because I just think in terms of the players that be blocking him, Espinosa is the one who's most likely to regress to a level where he's not going to be that useful and stay at that level.
I just don't think he has enough time. I mean, he was so bad for the first 2 months, and now he's second among shortstops in home runs, and they value his defense so much. I think it's notable that the Nationals sent Michael Taylor down the other day, because now Ben Revere's the only one blocking him. And I mean, you could argue even normalized Danny Espinosa is a more valuable offensive player than Ben Revere, even before you factor in defense, where Espinosa is a standout.
Now you're saying to date, right, based on what they've done so far?
No,
this
I'm
season.
Saying normalized Espinosa. He regresses to what he normally is. That's an even more valuable offensive player than Revere.
Email
not
from,
fantasy player, but just offensive player.
Okay.
Because, I mean, Revere's fantasy value is inflated because of the disproportionate value of steals.
All right, email from Travis. 12-team standard scoring league. Someone just dropped Russell Martin. Should I drop JT Realmuto or Evan Gattis for Russell Martin?
Ooh. I don't think I'd drop either. I mean, I think I currently have Martin just ahead of Realmuto in my rankings. It's close, though, and I may move Realmuto ahead of him. So, I think I'd stand pat.
Me too.
Yeah, okay. Brad says, Simeon hit his 18th home run last night. What does Marcus Simeon have to do to get a bump in your rankings?
I just gave him one yesterday. I moved Reyes up to 15th and Simeon up to 14th at second, at shortstop, on a 35 homer pace. Now, that's about all he does.
Yeah.
And I would expect the pace to slow a little from here.
Also, but Heath responded to this tweet and said he has to hit right-handed pitchers. And yeah, he's a big lefty masher.
It hasn't hurt him yet. And from a overall, no, I mean, I guess it's technically hurt him. It's brought down his batting average, but whatever. That's such a DFS response.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take a look now at the game log and see if they've faced an inordinate amount of lefties lately. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, if he's that good against lefties, he can still kind of crush it.
Yeah, no, I need to move him up two spots. He is better than Starling Castro and is Drupal Cabrera. That's as far as I can go.
Four lefties in their last six games, but that was after a long spell of righties, basically.
Okay. And John from Boston, well, actually, he said, why are you so low on Yanhervis Solarte? We kind of talked about him. And Brock Holt, the starting left fielder for the best lineup in baseball.
For now.
Holt's not good.
No, he's not.
Solarte is interesting, though. I just haven't had room for him on my rosters. I'm not sure, but he's eligible, you know, in so many spots. What's your overall take on Yanhervis Solarte?
I'm having trouble evaluating him and like Gene Segura, a few of those multi-eligible guys, Eduardo Nunez. I mean, in every one of their cases, they don't have much of a track record, so there's that. They don't have a standout skill. I guess you could lump Jose Ramirez in with them as well. So it's hard for me to tell exactly what they're good at. But I think the biggest issue is just that there are way too many players at all those positions where they're eligible to be excited about. I was looking at this yesterday. You know, we've whined a few times about the lack of breakout starting pitchers, or at least I have. I feel like the weakest positions in fantasy this year, or the thinnest positions, maybe is how I should put it. The thinnest positions are the ones that we had always considered the deepest, starting pitcher and outfield. And infield is stacked.
What about first base?
I mean, first base is fine. I don't think, you know, I feel like first, second, third, short, they're all kind of on even playing field in terms of depth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, first base and third base have some higher end players than the others, but depth wise, they're pretty similar. And then outfield and starting pitcher, where everybody's hurting the most. And catcher, of course.
Yeah, I was going to say. Catcher doesn't count. They're not even players. They're just defensive players. Yeah, I guess that's why I haven't really been moved to add Solarte. But he is hitting well, so if you need help in corner infield, middle infield, Jan Hervis is out there. Now, Carlos Rodon, you let us down yesterday in FanDuel. You certainly killed us in FanDuel. The Blue Jays came through. He told you to stack Blue Jays, but Rodon was a dud. That's okay. Today's a new day, a new chance to win money on FanDuel, a new chance to win bragging rights. You can play on FanDuel.com every single day. Enter multiple contests, play in small contests against your buddies, large tournaments with big cash payouts. You can win hundreds, thousands of dollars. Our listeners have won on FanDuel. They tell us all the time. And over a million users have won money on FanDuel. You can be one of those users. So play your daily fantasy baseball on FanDuel.com. And by now, you know about that special offer for new users. Enter your first league, either win a cash prize in that league, or FanDuel will automatically refund your entry fee up to $10 for additional play. Go to FanDuel.com, click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, and sign up with our promo code HOMERUN. HOMERUN, one word, all caps. HOMERUN is the promo code for that outstanding offer. I don't care about the most added list. You guys can talk about that later in the week with Chris. Let's get to the rest of the show. Injuries, news, and notes. Felix Hernandez hoping to return July 20th. Daniel Norris on the DL with an oblique strain. Buck Farmer is going to replace him. The Detroit rotation, not very good after Verlander and Fulmer. Am I forgetting anyone?
Nope. Zimmerman on the DL, and he hasn't been good anyway.
Julio Teheran will not make his start tonight. He has an infection in his thigh. Tyrell Jenkins will start instead, and Atlanta's hoping to have Teheran back this weekend. Alex Avila, White Sox catcher, he's going to go on the DL with a strained hamstring, so I assume that would open up more bats for Deonor Navarro. The Dodgers sent Julio Urias down, not a surprise. If you have Jose Berríos and you're hoping for him to get a call-up, looks like Tommy Malone may have temporarily saved his spot in the rotation with a good one against Oakland yesterday. And Marco Estrada may have his next start pushed back to the weekend. San Francisco hoping that Denard Span is back on Friday. Pitchers or hitters, guys? You tell me.
What about them?
What do you want to talk about?
Pitchers.
Pitchers? Okay.
Yeah.
David Price against a team that historically does very well against him. 8 innings, 8 hits, 3 runs, 1 walk, 10 strikeouts. Is this an okay start with you guys? He says he needs to get better, David Price.
Oh, well, this is a good step on the way to that. Yeah, nothing wrong with this start.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, I don't know that there's a lot wrong with Price to begin with. He does need to get better. I feel like he's kind of going through what Max Scherzer went through earlier in the season, and obviously Max Scherzer was able to climb out of that with all the home runs. Price has given up at least one home run in, I think it's 12 straight games. But you see how many 8-inning starts he has mixed in there, how many double-digit strikeout starts. It's so many that like you're just never going to sit him.
Sure. Dallas Keuchel, last 4 starts. He is 3-0 with a 3.20 ERA. I don't know. Call me a little bit less than impressed. 25 and a third, 26 hits, 6 walks, 18 strikeouts, 5 home runs allowed. If this is Dallas Keuchel's hot streak, Al, I know you like him, but I want to see more in a guy's best stretch.
Oh, I do too, but this is his best start in a while. And yeah, I admit those stats from the last 4 starts, they're certainly an upgrade from what we saw earlier. I'm just puzzled by the home runs. Scott talked about home runs with Price. Doesn't make any sense with Keuchel. I think if we expect Price to get out of it, yeah, he's not the bat, or Keuchel's not the batmaster that Price is. But with all the ground balls that he's still getting, you know, I have to think that that's the one thing that's holding Keuchel back from being what he was. I would say not last year, but 2 years ago when he was still very good.
Masahiro Tanaka. I don't know what the most important split is for Tanaka, but here are 2 big ones.
Okay.
4 days rest, he has a 5.28 ERA. 5 days rest, 1.05 ERA. And
wow.
Tanaka pitched yesterday on 5 days rest.
Wow.
Home, 5.05 ERA. Road, 1.14 ERA. They're very similar. The home road split versus the days rest split for Tanaka.
I think they're both important. I mean, obviously that's a tough place for a right-hander to pitch. A right-hander who's had home run problems in the past, although not so much this year. But you know, the 4 days rest is interesting versus 5 days rest, because 5 days rest is what he was used to in Japan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I just want to jump in. And having watched the Yankees, I mean, they talk about it so much, and one of their broadcasters, John Flaherty, was saying how much better, how much visibly, noticeably better Tanaka's splitter is when he's on extra rest, the 5 days rest. But the only thing is, I'm not even going to look at 2 years ago, his rookie season with the Yankees. Last year, there really wasn't a big difference between 4 days rest and 5 days rest. So it is making a difference this year, but last year it didn't. That's the only thing I want to add.
Well, I still think it's a very interesting split, and the home road ones make sense too. Although if he's struggling because of Yankee Stadium's dimensions, I would think that he might not have had a great start at U.S. Cellular, also a pretty tough park to pitch in. So that's encouraging.
Yeah, I think I'll look it up. I think every home run Tanaka's given up this year has come at home. He's given up 9 home runs, which is really good for him, and 112 and a third, and all 9 at home. That's crazy. All right, Steven Matz. Are you guys at least comfortable with his health? He's pitched pretty well. Last start against the Cubs, he fell apart a bit in the sixth, but this was a good one against Miami.
Yeah, this certainly gives me a little more comfort with Matz's health, but I still would like to see more than just this, because Matz is coming off of a string of starts that just weren't very good and did have me very worried about his health.
I think I read he was getting an injection before every start. Some days he feels good, some days he doesn't. He felt good yesterday, so
that's why I want to, I think we need to see consistency.
Right, me too. I would use this start as an opportunity to trade him.
Now, getting an injection before every start, that's almost like me doctoring my voice on the mixer before every podcast.
That's not as bad as that.
I mean, I want to find the exact thing I read to make sure I'm not misrepresenting the situation.
Okay.
I'll get back to you on that.
Sure. While you do that, Kenta Maeda had a bad start against the Orioles, but he's been pretty solid lately. Doesn't necessarily pitch that deep into games. He's the number 35 starting pitcher in points leagues and number 30 in Roto. This is Kenta Maeda. Big difference in the rankings. Heath has Maeda 28th. Scott has him 37th. Al, not so much a fan, in the 50s for Kenta Maeda.
Yeah, well, yeah, it obviously doesn't match up with where he currently ranks. So I think Maeda probably needs to move up for me, because I'm not sure that earlier in the year he certainly looked like he was bound to regress, but Maeda has in fact done that. So he will probably move up in my next update.
So this is what I read from the New York Post. This sentence is all I'm taking this from. The lefty will continue to take anti-inflammatories, so maybe not injections, before he pitches, with the hope of avoiding season-ending surgery on his elbow. That leads me to believe it's an every start thing, right?
Yeah, but I'm thinking it's a pill.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I didn't think you could get injections that frequently.
Yeah. I made up the injections part.
All right, last pitcher in the rotation is John Lackey, and I'll just ask you guys, who would you rather own, Kenta Maeda or the struggling John Lackey?
For now, Lackey, but yeah, this recent stretch makes me worry that maybe he's the ride is over and he's maybe going back to what he was before, which was okay, but not must start.
Based on this year, probably is must start still. Based on this year and the supporting cast, I'll take a mid-3 ERA for a pitcher who goes 7-8 consistently.
Let me just say something about John Lackey that I never realized, and I want everybody out there to really pay attention to this next time he pitches. Because he does this weird thing. He kind of grunts on the mound, but he shows his teeth. They're very visible. Mm-hmm. John Lackey might have the best teeth in baseball. He has tremendous teeth.
I've noticed that.
You have noticed that?
Yes.
I was really impressed.
I think it's probably just because he lets you notice his teeth more, right?
I would love to have his teeth, Scott.
Okay. I mean, isn't there like, as long as your teeth are straight and white and I guess not too much gum showing, I mean, how much...
and they chew food.
His are a lot wider. His are a lot wider than mine.
How much discrepancy can there be here? Like
the whiteness is what really stands out. I think there might be some performance enhancers there. I'm thinking white strips or professional whitening.
Oh okay. Yeah, no, I think probably professional whitening, like something hardcore.
yeah, come on, major league pitchers not using the white strips.
Dissolve his teeth down to nothing.
So I don't know if you guys are interested in any of these fringy starting pitchers. Mike Leake, AJ Griffin, Tyler Chatwood, Zach Davies, Sean Manaea, R.A. Dickey, Leake, Griffin, Chatwood, Davies, Manaea, R.A. Dickey. A lot of these guys picked up as two-star pitchers this week. Are any of them players you'd be excited about holding on to?
I have picked up Griffin and Manaea, probably dropping Manaea after this week. Griffin, I mean, he's not going very deep into his starts, but I'll probably hold for at least one more week and, well, probably a couple weeks with the break coming up, actually. So I do have some higher hopes for Griffin.
Davies is probably my favorite, but I'd be okay dropping him after this start.
In the bullpen, A.J. Ramos got a save, and Fernando Rodney gave up a home run. Wei-Yin Chen, by the way, is another guy that we should throw into that fringy starting pitcher list. I'm not sure how he rates amongst the others.
Yeah, I would put him probably right after Griffin in terms of somebody I'd be interested in picking up and giving a more than just a one-week trial.
Okay. Tony Cingrani pitched the ninth in a non-save situation. Raisel Iglesias pitched three innings, the sixth, the seventh, and the eighth. Are you losing hope that Iglesias will be the closer in Cincinnati?
Well, I just wrote yesterday I put him, I think, second in my rankings of potential closers that you should pursue. This particular outing does discourage me a little bit because his ability to go long may make him too valuable in a setup or middle role to move to the closer role. But I think Cingrani at some point is going to be so bad that I still do hold out hope that Iglesias, he's the best option that they have.
Who was number one on that closer list? Was it Buckner?
No, it was Trevor May.
Oh.
Because he's back. He's being, you know, eased into a higher leverage role. And I just don't trust Brandon Kinsler.
Now, what is your best guess for Rockies closer 3 weeks from now? As Adam Ottavino is back, he's got one out in the eighth inning. Estevez through the ninth. What's your best guess there?
I think they really want it to be Estevez. So, barring just a disaster, I think it'll be Estevez.
Okay. Now let's talk about some hitters, guys. Unless you want to talk about Zach Eflin, who threw a complete game at the Braves, or against the Braves.
I think he's kind of boring, personally, but...
I agree.
Okay. Clobber and Cleveland.
Sediment and all only.
Well, would you guys rather play rather talk about Clobber and Cleveland or Mash in Minnesota?
Clobber and Cleveland.
Okay. Carlos Santana is on an absolute tear. 10 home runs in his last 29 games, .633 slugging percentage, OPS over 1,000. Santana is the number 7 first baseman in points this year, number 14 in Roto. To be honest, I was surprised. I thought it'd be higher with his 19 home runs. Santana's already matched last year's total. Rajay Davis is 35 years old and having an amazing season, .275 with 9 home runs, 22 steals, 4 doubles in his last 7 games. Lonnie Chisenhall, .426 batting average with 3 ding-dongs in his last 13 games, and now he's batting .311. And Tyler Naquin, 1-for-4 with a home run yesterday. Only 17 at-bats against lefties this year, but even Naquin doing pretty well. He's 20% owned. Chisenhall's 29% owned. Davis, 64% owned. Anything you want to talk about with the Cleveland Indians, who, you know, best team in baseball lately?
Well, I want to talk about Naquin because we've seen a lot of the other three. In fact, Davis, I figure, is probably going to have a huge drop off in the second half. And Santana, I'm not sure if you don't have him, what you can do about it right now, because it's certainly not a good time to trade for him. But Naquin is not somebody that I expected to hit for power, and he's absolutely done that so far. Batting average doesn't shock me, and I thought maybe there'd be more stolen bases. But the power seems legit, very high hard contact rate. He's got an average fly ball distance that's 301 feet so far, which is very high, and done it over, you know, not a huge sample of plate appearances, but large enough that I'm starting to think that maybe there's something to this. Maybe he's just one of these players who breaks out right away upon coming to the major leagues and gives us more than what his minor league numbers would suggest.
But it's so great. Much more than what his minor league numbers would suggest.
Yeah.
Because the guy never hit more than 10 home runs in any minor league season, Tyler Naquin. You know, how do you, and he's 25. So I don't know how to evaluate a player like that. How do you evaluate someone who hasn't even done anything remotely similar to this in the minors?
Well, I'd say just sit back and enjoy the ride, except yeah. It's not really translating to fantasy production is the problem, because he's not playing enough for it to. So, I mean, normally that would be my approach, a player with wide open possibilities. He's good enough for you to play him, and you know, no glaring red flags in the peripherals, and just play him and see what happens. But I'm not there yet with Naquin, because he needs to play more.
In a rotisserie or categories league, not the good format for Carlos Santana, would you rather have Santana or Freddie Freeman?
I think Freeman.
I'll stick with Freeman, yeah.
Would you rather have Adrian Gonzalez or Carlos Santana? Categories.
Santana.
I'll agree there, too.
Would you rather have Santana... Trying to think of one more here. I always do the same guys. I was going to say Albert Pujols, but I'm bored with that. But I'll just say Pujols or Santana.
Pujols. In categories, yeah, Pujols.
All right, fine. Good for him.
Fine. I was trying to think of what game show, because you gave us MASH in Minnesota or Clobber in Cleveland, and I was trying to think of what game show they'd get like a choice with from two categories with like witty sayings like that. And then they pick one, and you'd forever wonder what the other one was all about.
You know,
remember what game show that is? Does it sound familiar?
It does.
The only thing I'm thinking of, and there's no way this is right, it's sort of reminding me of Legends of the Hidden Temple.
It may be that. I mean, this is so deep in the recesses of my brain that I could just be recalling this childhood. I mean, it's clearly a childhood memory, so it may be a childhood show like that.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. If I was trying to Google it while I was talking about Naquin.
If Al even remotely, you know, if that recalls anything for Al, then it's definitely not Legends of the Hidden Temple.
It's not that show, but it does sound, but you know, there could be an idea that was recycled.
Right. From, it could be.
You know, the 1940s when I watched TV.
Al, you have no idea what Legends of the Hidden Temple
was. Before there
was TV. Well, weren't like game shows all the rage in like the 70s or something?
Absolutely.
So they had all kinds of crazy ones. Yeah. The
Gong Show, Match Game. Well, Match Game's back.
I'm sure it had been used before Legends of the Hidden Temple, if it indeed was used in Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Yeah. Somebody out there will know. And we could end the show talking about MASH in Minnesota. Although, I feel bad. We talk about important players 57 minutes into the show. But Miguel Sano is 3-for-17 since coming off the DL with 2 home runs. Kenny Vargas, the S is silent, is 1% owned and had a good game yesterday. Max Kepler, hitting pretty well right now. Last 24 games, Kepler's batting .284 with 6 home runs. And Byron Buxton is a 5-game hitting streak. He's 7-for-19 with 4 runs, no steals, 1 walk, 5 strikeouts, 4 doubles, and a triple in this 5-game hitting streak.
Yeah, I'm most interested in Buxton, and this is a pretty modest little streak for him, but at least it's something. So it's you know, something to watch. I think you could stash him in a roto league. But yeah, I'm not really super excited about any of these players, and I'm not up to taking Sano off my bench yet.
I actually added Kepler in the 3 outfielder points podcast league, but it was a desperation situation. Hey, he's the hot hand. Maybe I'll get lucky. Because, I do think he has some upside. I don't think he's a 30 homer guy, and that's really what's been carrying him is the home runs. I feel like he's going to make his bones. It's going to be on strikeout to walk ratio, and that has not been good.
Fellas, a fun show. Thank you very much. Enjoy Chris Towers on Thursday and Friday. He'll be hosting the show.
Enjoy the movement.
Treat him well. Yeah, I will enjoy the movement. Podcasters, we're an up-and-coming thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go us. So, I will talk to you guys on Monday. Thank you all for listening to Fantasy Baseball Today. With another horrible outro, I'm Adam Azer. For Scott White, now Mel Kiefer. See you later. Machado.